AutoZone.com.
Now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist, Susan Frank.
Hello, I'm Susan Frank, and welcome to Wild About Pets. On this show, I will be exploring all possible topics relating to household pets and wild animals. Each week during this hour-long show, I will be interviewing different guests. They may be authors of pet or wild animal books, experts in the field, such as veterinarians or wildlife researchers, or famous personalities. The show will be live most every Friday at noon Central Time, so you can call in and join our conversations by asking questions of the guests. If you can't listen on a Friday, you won't have to miss any shows, because all of the episodes will be stored here on TalkZone.com for you to listen to on demand 24/7. Because we will be talking about all kinds of animals, both wild ones and pets, and half of the fun is seeing what they look like, I have developed a companion website to this radio show. It's called wildaboutpets.net. On that website, you will be able to see photographs of some of the animals we will be speaking about for each show. The feature is called Look While You Listen. So while you are on my show's page here on TalkZone.com, you would want to look for the purple link button that says Look While You Listen. If you click that button, it will take you right to the matching page with photos of the animals we are going to be talking about today. You can also start out by logging in to my own website, which is wildaboutpets.net, and also go to the Look While You Listen page. Once you are there, you'll see where the photos are, and then you can click on the link that brings up the radio show. Voila! You can look and listen. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I, of course, love animals. I have owned many types of pets, fish, turtles, hamsters, a dog, and a cat. You will hear some stories and see pictures of my cat, Willie, as he will tie into some of the show topics we'll be talking about in the next few weeks. I also love the wild animals that share our planet with us, perhaps caring even more for them. I think that's probably because I'm a little bit more worried about them, actually. Anyway, this love of animals led me into my career as an environmental educator. I have worked for private nature centers, the National Park Service, where I was an interpretation ranger at Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore. I worked at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago, Illinois, and at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago, Illinois. By the way, I'd like to send out a big hello and warm wishes to the docents, zookeepers, curators, and staff in the education department at the Lincoln Park Zoo. They do a fabulous job in behalf of the animals that live there. You will notice that on my website and in my Talk Zone banners that I have pictures of both pets and wild animals. This is because this show and the website will truly be about all kinds of animals. In no way am I suggesting that a tiger or panda bears, for instance, are pets or ever should be. We'll actually spend some time discussing animals that are appropriate for household pets and the ones which are not and were never meant to be. And that those discussions may come up, you know, over the next number of weeks also. My intent with this show is to offer in-depth conversations on a variety of topics. I'll be looking to present some unusual perspectives, less commonly known material, so that you find yourself saying, "Ah, I didn't know that." I'll show you some adorable and fabulous photos of animals, and we'll devote attention in our conversations to that somewhat mysterious and deeply felt connection, that bond that we humans have with animals. The whole world watches when we hear about the plight of a stranded whale or a cougar on the loose. I know you all have seen all the stories in the media. If you are one of those people who experiences that fascination and delight that is almost indescribable, yet deeply felt when in the presence or observation of an animal, then you will love hearing some of the stories my guests have to tell. I can't wait to bring them all on my show. As the weeks go on, I'll also be adding some lighthearted features, such as, is that a fact? Relating fun facts about a particular animal. We'll set the record straight regarding some myths about wildlife, and I'll be telling brief stories about amazing animal behavior in my Creature Feature series. Let's get started with my first topic. We are going to be talking about pets today. Does your cat or dog exhibit some troubling behaviors that you just can't understand, such as wanting to chew on everything all the time, including you, or getting so excited that they act almost crazy, running all over the place, and perhaps even becoming overly aggressive? My guest today has some possible causes for a number of different behaviors and eye-opening solutions for these issues that originate from a most unlikely and unexpected source. I was intrigued by the ideas in their book, and perhaps you will be also when you hear what our guests will share with us today. They are not vets or animal trainers. They are occupational therapists. My guests are Diana Henry and Deanna Sava, the co-authors of Sensory Tools for Pets, Animals and People Helping Each Other. Welcome, Deanna.
Hi, welcome. Susan, thank you. Glad to be here.
And welcome, Diana.
Hi, Susan. It is an honor.
I am so thrilled that you are both here on my debut show. Now, you know, your names are very similar. To avoid confusion, and I know I get confused in talking to both of you, how about instead of calling you Deanna, I call you Dee for this show?
That's fine.
Okay, fabulous. Let me tell everybody a little bit about my guests first. Diana Henry is a registered and licensed occupational therapist and has specialized in the area of sensory integration for over 30 years. She is the president of Henry Occupational Therapy Services and opened a clinic in 1984 specializing in sensory integration. Don't worry, we'll find out what that means later in the show. She received her Bachelor of Science degree in Occupational Therapy from Tufts University and her Master's in Sensory Integration from Rush University. Through their company, she and her husband, Rick Roos, I hope I pronounced his name correctly.
Yes, that's correct.
Great. Have produced numerous handbooks, videos, and DVDs to help therapists, educators, and parents. She teaches and conducts workshops all over the country and internationally. She has won numerous awards and in 2008 received an award honoring her work to bridge the gap between the research and the practice of her field. My second guest, Deanna Iris Sava, also a registered licensed occupational therapist, received her bachelor's degree in communication from Dominican University and her master's in occupational therapy from Rush University. Her credentials include working on an adult inpatient rehabilitation unit for 3 years, and she has been in pediatrics in the school setting since 1996. She is certified in sensory integration, therapeutic listening, and assistive technology. She is also active on several pediatric occupational therapy listservs and has published extensively. Deanna, or Dee as we will call her today, is also the proud human mom to two beautiful cats, one of which, whose name is Chloe, is the cat that is pictured alongside the description of this show episode on TalkZone.com and also on WildAboutPets.net. So, let's get started. Diana and Dee, what prompted the two of you, both occupational therapists, with all your training and experience in helping people, and especially children, to write this book about pets with problem behaviors?
Well, this is Diana speaking. We are good friends and also colleagues, and working in this area of sensory integration, which is really looking at how sensation is processed or used by children and adults. Some people are overly sensitive to certain kinds of to touch, for example, or maybe to movement, or some children or adults have very poor body awareness because they don't have feedback about their own body, their muscle system. Anyway, we work in that area, and what we found as we shared our stories about our own animals was that we each had provided some therapy to our animals, and we found that it was fascinating how well it worked, and then decided, wow, wonder if other people are doing the same thing, and found that many people, many therapists, also are using this sensory treatment with their pets.
That is fascinating. So the overlap is that the very techniques that you can use with people turn out to have some great effect on pets also.
Exactly, exactly. Now, we're not veterinarians, and the research is just starting in the area of animals. There is a lot of research with people, with children and adults on sensory processing, what we call sensory processing, even a diagnosis, sensory processing disorder that we have found with some children with autism or children with ADHD, who have these difficulties with the sensation. But we have found that some of the behaviors that we see in our pets, and that you and the audience, some of our listeners probably see in their pets, may be perhaps also due to these sensory challenges.
Okay, well, for the sake of clarity, let's define some terms. First of all, what is an occupational therapist? I think there's a lot of confusion about that term.
This is Deanna. I'd like to address that, or I should say Dee.
All right, great, Dee. Go ahead.
Susan, the term occupation refers to how we occupy our time on a daily basis, such as work, play, leisure. And in general, occupational therapists help people perform their day-to-day activities and life's roles as independently as possible, no matter what setting we work in. That's our basic tenet. This includes people who are faced with challenges from birth, during childhood development, or after an injury. Another way to phrase performing day-to-day activities that we use is engagement in occupation to support participation in life. That's what we do.
Oh, that's fabulous. So that's where the word occupation comes from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I know, Diana, you were starting to mention some sensory issues, but can we just summarize what really is meant by sensory issues?
Well, if we look at typical daily activities, then we think about the sense of touch. You think about that you're able to, for example, put your earrings on without even looking at your ears necessarily, just because of the feeling of touch. But you can imagine if you had huge, big rubber gloves on your fingers and you didn't have that touch sensation, that feedback, you wouldn't know exactly how to get that earring on your ear. And so touch is very important in giving you information about the environment and how to manipulate objects in your environment. And there are some children and adults we know whose touch sensory system does not give them the correct feedback. So it's also sort of like if you think of getting a going to the dentist and you get a shot of Novocaine. You know how your mouth goes really well and you can't talk very well because you can't feel your tongue and you start to drool and all of that until the sensation comes back. And so that is one of the areas, one of the many different kinds of areas that can be affected in our children, and which may impact the behavior of some animals where they're not getting this information correctly. So they bump into things, they don't know how to eat properly, they spill their food, that kind of thing.
All right, and so the last thing we've got to kind of understand is, before we really get into more specifics about how these sensory issues reveal themselves in our pets and what can we do with them, is what do you mean by sensory integration?
Well, there's a definition of that, which is the process of organizing sensory input from the five senses, which many of us already know, as well as two other senses, the muscle sense and the movement sense, so that the brain can produce useful body responses and useful perceptions, emotions, and thoughts. And that's a quote by a pioneer in this area, an occupational therapist back in the 1960s, who saw that many of the children she was working with had these sensory problems, which was affecting not only their academic performance, but also their behavior.
All right, okay, that's great. That helps us understand a little bit more. Now, in your book, I noticed you have grouped stories of animals into some categories of some sensory issues. So, for example, you have a category that we'll be looking at in a moment about pets who may be too sensitive or over-responsive. And I'm going to want to talk in just a moment about some of the stories in the book and look at some pictures. But at this point, I want to talk about how anyone who's listening can make sure you see the pictures if you would like to, because you have this option. So again, if you want to see the photos that we're going to be speaking of, you'll want to go to the Look While You Listen feature. Now, if you're on the Talk Zone site, on the page where, the home page where you, you know, initiated this contact into hearing this show, you're going to see a button, a purple button. It's Look While You Listen, and there even are some words. And if you just click that, it's going to take you immediately to the page on my personal website, the Look While You Listen page, or if you are on wildaboutpets.net, or you can, I mean, go to wildaboutpets.net, and then you click on the Look While You Listen button in the menu. That should take you right to our page with the date of our show and our photos. So, here we are, and I understand that there are some animals that are too sensitive or over-responsive. Now, the two of you, how does this reveal itself? Or how would someone know that their pet may have this issue, that they're too sensitive or over-responsive?
I can answer that. This is Dee. They would usually have unusual reactions to different sensations. It could be touch, sound, movement. And these buildup of the sensations can lead to what we call fight, flight, fright, or freeze reactions. And they'll display themselves as unexpected snapping, biting, growling, hiding, cowering, maybe becoming rigid when they're approached or touched. These are only some of the symptoms, but it's basically they'll be, you know, unusually more than typical frightened or, you know, they may run and hide and...
All right, so let's say you had an animal like that, and I think we have a picture of Woody, a cat, and so you have an animal that is exhibiting some of this. Can you tell us a little bit of the story about Woody, and what kind of behaviors did Woody have?
Sure, and I just want to do a qualifier that the stories that were submitted by people, this is what those owners did to help their animals, and these techniques, you know, strategies might not work, you know, across the board with every animal. So we're just sharing some of the things that people did with their own pets.
And if I may add to that also, you know, when one sees that that one's animal is having difficulty, of course, the very first thing that one thinks about is to go to see the veterinarian to make sure that it's not a medical issue, and to realize that, of course, not all behaviors are sensory related. So we want to make sure about that, and also, you know, obedience school can be really helpful to many, many animals. But if after having done all of that, there's still some of these behaviors that we're going to be describing today, that might be a time to think about, I wonder if there's a sensory issue driving this behavior.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, I'm sorry, Dee, were you about to say something?
Well, I was going to totally agree with Diana, and our book is not a how-to book. You know, the strategies, as I said, are what people did with their pets, but this is not how-to. It's more, as Diana described, if you've ruled out physical issues and behavior issues, and there are still some behaviors even after obedience training, we want to make people aware of sensory processing in general and to think about the possibility that animals could have these issues. That's the purpose of the book, just something to consider. This is our book is the first of its kind where we're describing sensory processing in animals.
Okay, well, fabulous, and I can't wait till we actually get to the story of Woody, but right now we do need to take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with more right after this.